Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for football season.
Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
On Moneyline.
Show's hot.
The show is hot.
With your hosts, Donnie Wrightside.
13-10 because you can't move the football. And all of a sudden, like, hold on. How about if we put athletes on offense and spread it out? Oh, look at that. Track meets in the SEC now.
And Kevin Walsh.
I mean, Donnie, man, 10 touchdowns, 10 interceptions is on the board for this guy. Who else is doing that? Who else is nobody? Nobody's doing that.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
No better place to be than right here, right now on the Sports Grid Network. Moneyline Football Friday. Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh as we step into the abyss this weekend of a massive Saturday in college football, an exciting Sunday in NFL action. And as I say that, I do mean it because I love the NFL. Now, when we start setting up the NFL slate, yes, we're going to bet on it. Yes, we're going to have a ton of props. Yes, we're going to make some money. But having said that, it's a terrible card. It has me feeling like I did last week with week number 3 in college football, sitting back to myself saying, where are all the good games at? Now, granted, as I said, you know, we're going to be betting on the games. We're going to be handicapping those games, and rightfully so. But as I say to myself, man, I'm used to some marquee games. And did you get a marquee game last night on Thursday Night Football? New York Giants, San Francisco 49ers? No, you didn't. Uh-uh. Nobody got that. But by the way, I sort of thought that game was going to play out. I had everything I needed to hit last night except one prop. And sometimes I got to blame myself. Because I had a parlay yesterday that I thought was pretty sweet. George Kittle, over 44.5 yards, as we welcome in the radio audience here, Sirius XM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. It's Moneyline on a Friday afternoon. And yes, we're going to kick off this weekend. But as I say, as I digress to yesterday, George Kittle easily goes over his number. What do you have, 7 catches, 90 yards? No doubt about it. Also needed Christian McCaffrey to get in the end zone. Easy peasy, he gets in. I needed Daniel Jones to get 200 yards passing yesterday. And I said to myself, let me break down what's actually going to happen in this game. I actually did not think, to be honest, that the Giants could win that football game. I took them in my eliminator, which shows you the confidence I had. The very best game of the week, the easiest win, I thought was going to be the 49ers over the Giants, and it was. Blew them out. But shouldn't that mean you have some decent passing statistics? And I don't even mean decent by saying, hey, 290-plus yards in a blowout loss. I just needed absolute competency, and I didn't even get that yesterday to Daniel Jones in that offense. I knew they were not going to be able to run the football. I knew that coming into the game. No Saquon Barkley, terrible banged-up offensive line against an elite defensive unit. So I figured Daniel Jones would probably throw the football over 35 times yesterday. He ended up throwing 32 times. Why? Because he got benched at the end of the game, which how inept he was. If you're making $40-plus million a year, you should never look like that. And it seems like if you're going to play 4 football games every month in the NFL, he stinks in 3 of them. And shout out, and I know behind the scenes here, talking before the show, me and Christian, Kirk Herbstreit actually said these words yesterday. Respects what's going on there with Daniel Jones and how he plays. What? You can't throw 15 touchdowns as a starting quarterback in the NFL and get any respect anywhere at any time. There's people out there will tell you, oh, Lamar Jackson, man, he's not a quarterback. Lamar Jackson routinely, when healthy, throws for 30 touchdowns a season. Daniel Jones out here, hey, man, 15. That'll get the job done. But if that's the going rate for a quarterback where you make $40 million a year for starting every game and throwing 15 touchdowns, more power to him, man. He pulled the wool over the Giants' eyes. That team stinks. Now, there are other teams in the NFL that stink as well. And the Giants will have a decent season. They're not making the playoffs. They stink. But a lot of teams stink in the NFL. And you're going to find it out this weekend, too, with some of these matchups that we have. But my goodness. And for me, a handicapper came into the season and tweeted out before the season started, Daniel Jones is going to throw for more than 17 and a half touchdown passes. Now, he has two through three games, so technically he's a little bit behind the eight ball, but a couple touchdowns here or there, he's right back in it and probably should still get that. But the simple fact of the matter is, I whiffed on the Giants coming into this season. I was buying in not where they were going to win the division, but maybe a wild card position here. I said, you know what? Brian Daboll, another year in the system with Daniel Jones. He got his money. Saquon's happy. Saquon's hurt like he always is, so I should have factored that in. Daniel Jones cannot run an offense, and they have no wide receivers whatsoever. And for me, looking at Darren Waller's the tight end, in the offseason, I go, man, that's a good acquisition. He stinks. He can't run or catch anymore. What happened to Darren Waller, by the way? What happened to the guy? One of those mobile tight ends which you can use as a mismatch? He's terrible. Looks like he went from like age 25 to 45 over one offseason. Man, things aren't going to look good for the Giants. They just aren't. But I did expect them to get hammered yesterday, and they did. Nailed everything. If you guys watched the early line, first half, minus 6.5, San Francisco. Boom, easy. Under 43.5, stays under the total. George Kittle over 44.5 receiving yards. Bang, all the way through. But from what I saw out of the Giants, an absolutely lifeless performance was embarrassing, K-Dub. It was.
I got to tell you, though, Donnie, as someone that bet plus 10.5, I truly thought they were covering all the way up until Tyrod Taylor took that field. And honestly, even a part of me said, maybe Tyrod will march down there. That's why I took a big number. But you're right. That isn't it. DRS, like, they were, like, they got the first touchdown. They were in a 2-point conversion away from making that a 3-point game in, you know, middle third quarter. But I didn't expect them to get pulled away from. You know what I mean? Like, you were able to cover your first half spread with a double-digit Niners lead. I was like, oh, that's tough. But when the Giants came back and made that 5, I'm like, okay, they're going to be, they'll be here for the rest of the game. Even when the Niners were able to get the McCaffrey touchdown, kudos to you. I was like, the Giants are going to get into points again, whether that be a field goal, and they didn't. And that was very surprising to me. And again, like, I know they were limited coming in terms of personnel and everything like that, but I expected far more from the Giants. It's one of the reasons I laid off the total, you know, that you mentioned just snuck under the number there, because if the Niners were going to touch 30, which they do every time Purdy's their quarterback, seemingly, I still thought the Giants would find a way to get inside that number. I really, really believe that.
And I want to say it was Fred Warner after the game, which kudos to him for saying this. I love when people or NFL players talk about what the common man is talking about. Hey, what'd you think about that game? We were kind of shocked, man. We know they're not that great of a team, and Daniel Jones is a good athlete. They didn't even care if he ran or not, didn't call a single play for him to run. We were actually surprised by that. And I thought that was so apropos when I sit back and go to myself. The reason, and again, I didn't bet this, but anybody who bet Daniel Jones over rushing yards had the right premise in there. The execution was horrendous by the Giants, not Daniel Jones, not even designing any runs and just basically giving up on the running game. And I don't even think the 49ers were particularly impressive last night, but just goes to show you got two absolute clunkers out of the Giants in the first three games. It's Moneyline. It's Friday. Let's set you up this weekend. Donnie and Kevin, we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live. Yes, we are. On an afternoon, on a Friday. And let me just take one more shot here at the Giants, to be honest. Let me just take one more shot here. 30-12 final yesterday. He had a 57-yard field goal from Graham Gano, which I have no idea why the Giants... I was actually surprised he went for the 57-yard, but rightfully so he made it. I thought they probably would go for it on 4th-and-3 to get a little bit closer. Neither here nor there. Scored a touchdown in the third quarter, but it was a punt to the 50 that had a personal foul. So basically they went about 30, 35 yards for that touchdown. Case in point, they had 150 total yards in that ballgame in a blowout. I understand the 49ers are a really good team. I get it. That's embarrassing. And I guess you could chalk it up to, as I always say, Kevin, I know it's really hard to go on the road back-to-back weeks and a Thursday night, but that was more embarrassing. And again, I guess I'm really fueled because I hit everything except for the one giant player I needed just to be confident that he makes $40+ million. So I'm torching Daniel Jones today, even though I have bets on him for this season. The fact of the matter is, I watched that game and I said, first of all, Brock Purdy was terrible in the first half. He should have thrown 3 interceptions in the first half alone, but the Giants can't catch or make any plays. And anytime they did make a play, they had a personal foul or a pass interference. They just couldn't stop the penalties coming after him. But I was just, the incompetence. Look, I was all Ninered up yesterday too, but I'm so angry at the Giants because they just didn't perform, and I just needed not even competence. A 200. You tell me at the end of the game, Kevin, 30-12 final. I'm like, oh my god, 200 yards for Daniel Jones. He might have a $170 in the fourth quarter alone because the game doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. He was so bad, like, bro, get on the bench,
Donnie. So I know someone that had, you know, a nice little four banger. Every Niner leg comes home, will fall short. Darren Waller, 25. Plus, what? I mean, an absolute blowout. Target number one can't get you 25 receiving yards. Oh. I mean, it's stunning.
Who is he? Dallas Goedert?
I mean, exactly, right? I mean, even the people waiting for more.
Yes.
You know, Donnie, like, this is the thing, man. The Giants are a 1-2 football team, right? They are, you know, very narrowly, they would have not only been 0-3, but they would have then been viewed as the worst team in the league. They have played, there are some people who would tell you that they played the worst team in the NFL and then the two best teams in the NFL, right? But
yeah,
as a playoff team, and the expectations are, well, let's take a step forward, get better year over year. But kind of, they have been absolutely smashed. You know, the score is 70-12 in those two games between Dallas and San Francisco. And again, the most embarrassing one still, and I know, you know, I'll block field goal, fluky pick six, like a lot of things went wrong.
Yeah.
Like that Giants game against Dallas was in their own building. Mm-hmm. This team, like, Donnie, what's their updated win total? Have you seen that number? Because the schedule's not really getting much easier for this football team, if you've noticed.
Yeah, let me see. Do we have? I wonder if we have updated win totals with the with the week already started. Let me see. There we go. Win totals. All right. Let's see where the Giants check in. New York Jets. Nothing. They don't even have them up yet.
Okay.
So I guess they wait until the end there. Which the week. They're probably in the same boat as you. Like, well, yeah. What the heck do we even?
Have you
put
seen
this
the next three games?
Who is it? I know it's the
home
Seattle Monday
Seattle.
Night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, home against Seattle, mini bye. You certainly give him a chance in the game. Maybe Saquon's back, right? Mm-hmm. At Miami, at Buffalo to follow up.
Yeah, good night.
I mean, if they aren't 2-4, I'll reopen Dable Coach of the Year conversations, right? Like, 1-5 sounds far more likely than them finding their way to 3-3 through that schedule. And again, it's like, oh, well, what do you want them to do? It's a tough schedule. I know it's a tough schedule. But now they're getting embarrassed. And that was the thing about that line last night, Donnie, where if Brian Dable is the guy that won Coach of the Year, if Daniel Jones is a guy that's actually worth, forget the exact amount, but, you know, franchise quarterback money, well, then that's got to be a cover. That has to be inside the number. And it just wasn't even in the ballpark.
No, it wasn't. And the fact of the matter is, again, they had 100, and I can't get over that. Forget about the final score. 150 yards for an NFL franchise that the quarterback was healthy, and he's a $40 million a year guy. That's just embarrassing all the way over. But put that to bed. That was my eliminator pick of the week. And I got to tell you, I've been in a lot of eliminator contests over the years. Never in a million years did I have three games where I had to sit back at the beginning of the season and just can go out and smoke a cigar. I mean, it doesn't get any better for a start. But then again, probably everybody's in the same boat here. I was like, hey, man, I had a two-point line, and they won by 25 points. I picked three games I thought the teams would blow the doors off the other, and all three of those teams did. So it'll be interesting to see next week once we start taking a look at some of those options, because the easy teams are slowly getting picked off one by one by one for me. So something to look forward to in the future.
Can I ask you on that note? So I'm going to go with the Chiefs this week, and it's one of those weird things, right? Like I was telling you, hey, don't pick the Niners, but always thought, of course, the Niners would win the game. Just let's stay away from a dirty Thursday nighter. Who is the trap team, Donnie? There's a bunch of teams laying, you know, over a touchdown this week. Who is the team that's going to get everybody in trouble in Survivor? I think for me, Jacksonville jumps off the page in a divisional matchup, maybe. But the Texans are as injured as can be right now. Is it the Colts? Like, is it Kansas City?
It's hard because there is a lot of paint by numbers. Like, I really can't say Kansas City just because Chicago is just such a mess, not even on the field, just off the field, which is unbelievable. So it's tough to picture in. I actually think one of those teams around seven, and hear me out on this, it's Denver taking on Miami. And the reason I say that is not because I do think Denver's team total is going to hit. I haven't wagered. Did I wager? I didn't send that out yesterday, did I? Confusing the teams I had right now. But anyway, that's one of the teams either I sent yesterday. I'm telling you, I can't even remember like yesterday here, but it's up. But Denver, I figure they're going to be in the 20s. And the reason I bring up Denver is like, hey, man, Donnie, what do you mean? They lost at home. Won the Washington, won to the Vegas Raiders. I get that. I do. But you have to understand, when you're in the building, from a coaching staff to a general manager to players, guys get fired going 0-3. And I don't know if they're going to win that football game. I actually don't think they're going to win, to be honest. But I think they're going to put up a fight enough where it's like, hey, man, we were in it to win it. We had the lead. We lost. It's close. Like, I don't see Miami winning, let's just say, 35-14. Then you're really talking about guys getting, like, okay, released, cut, you're getting demoted, and that's that. Because 0-3, you're not making the playoffs anymore. And it's almost like, it's crazy to say that. But 14 games left, you're like, we're not going to make the playoffs. We're not going to give up, but things are going to start to change here because we're not probably going to make a run after anything. I just look at that game myself and I say, okay, close to 7-point line. Not going to be surprised if, hey, look at that. Denver's got the lead at the half. That's one of those games I'm looking forward to there. But outside of that, it is really tough. And by the way, I do get a kick out of this. You have your number one overall pick, right? And I get what Carolina is doing this year. It has nothing for me. I know you were a little bit higher on Carolina than me. Just make sure you have your quarterback. He's healthy. And you know what? We're going to add around them in the future. This is our guy here. It cracks me up where that line was like 6, 6.5. Dalton's now the starter. It's back to 5.5. Like some things like that make me laugh. And also, Indianapolis is actually the opposite direction. Usually we would have thought Kevin earlier in the season was like, hey, you know what? Hey, Anthony Richardson, go to the bench and let Gardner Minshew play. At least he can give me like a competent start. They were so good with Anthony Richardson and so much fun that I don't know if that's actually a downgrade anymore. It's an interesting game, though, because Indy is showing a lot more fight than I thought they would have.
Yeah.
And they do have a competent backup in this game. And you're right. When you talk about injuries, Baltimore is like, you know, the epicenter of injuries across the board.
And coming off of, you know, a bit of an emotional game, going to Cincinnati, it takes a lot to beat that football team on the road still. Shane Steichen, you know, look, some of the Eagles' early struggles, could any of that have to do with Steichen no longer being in the building? Maybe, right? He looks really good for Indianapolis as their head coach. And look, I'll throw it out there because people are going to laugh about it. But, you know, is Dallas really safe? You're going on the road. What an easy spot to look past in terms of the Arizona team. You just lose
banged
Trayvon
up on the offensive
Diggs.
Line too. Banged up on the offensive line. A couple MRIs this week.
Yes.
Yeah.
And again, this Cardinals team is so far. Like, again, I know home field advantage, Donnie, has meant less and less and less. But like, you're telling me this team's laying 17 if this game's in Dallas?
It's wild. And again, Arizona isn't the team that's laying down. So it's an interesting fight. And by the way, BATR are going to be red hot this weekend with Damian Lillard possibly getting traded this weekend. We got to keep our eye on that situation. But it's a Football Friday right here on the grid. It's Donnie and Kevin. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
On the right side here, along with Kevin Walsh, Football Friday afternoon right here on the grid. It's Moneyline. We're going to set you up for that college football slate in just a few moments. But let's get to the phone lines here. 844-843-6879. Red Tail from the great state of West Virginia is on the line. Red Tail, what's up there?
How's it going, guys?
Hello.
Hey, I'm in a double elimination survivor pool, and both teams are 2-0 so far. And I definitely have KC on one of the teams. And I keep going back and forth on the other one, trying to be a little bit more aggressive. And K-Dub, I agree with you. That Jacksonville game makes me nervous. And for me, it was between Jacksonville and the Seattle game. Just wonder what you think of the Carolina, you know, backup going out to Seattle. Do you think he tries to make a statement and win and try to take over the job? Or should I take KC on both of them?
K-Dub, you there? I might have lost K-Dub there at that point. No, I'll take a look at that here. Yeah. No, I agree with you there. I do. Like, if Kansas City, you can't go wrong with. So that would be. But there are some of those lower-level ones. Like, Seattle, to be honest with you, Red, I don't think Seattle loses this weekend. I don't care who the quarterback is for Carolina. They haven't showed me anything, but I would feel better if they actually had their rookie quarterback starting on the road this weekend as opposed to Andy Dalton. He's not built for it. And also, you have to remind yourself, right? You say, okay, he's a backup. He's a veteran. He should be ready. Understandable. But he didn't come to Carolina to be the starting quarterback. And what I mean by that is when he was signed, he knew he was a backup. And when you are at ease with a backup saying, you know what, he's getting a couple more paychecks here, tutelage for the young quarterback, and away we go. Hopefully I never have to come in. It's like the Joe Flacco scenario. When I remember when he came into a game and had to play versus, I think it was the Dolphins a couple years ago, he was so embarrassing and scared for his life because he never thought he would wind up in a football game, and he did. So I still like Seattle this week, and I think they handled their business. It's down to 5.5, but I feel real confident in that game. Kansas City, again, can't go wrong with. And Jacksonville should be able to handle their business over Houston. I don't think that's a big deal in that one, but I wouldn't have any fear with Seattle Red Tail. I just wouldn't. Let's get back to the phone lines here. 844-843-6879. Jordan from Phoenix, he's ready to roll because his Niners were hot last night. What's up, Jordan?
What's up, Donnie? I have to agree with you, though. They didn't play their the best game. Obviously, they won 30-12. I'll take the W no matter what. But the Niners definitely could have played a little bit better. And I took them with you, too, in my Survivor. I did the one on DraftKings, the little $100 buy-in one. Yep. I had the Niners last night. And then I signed up for your website a little while ago, so I got your pick yesterday on the team total. So you know I'm riding with you, and then
you're
the best show on the grid. You have a great weekend, man. Tell K-Dub whenever he gets back on, have a great weekend. I'll be telling him to play. Yo, man.
There you go, man. Yeah, we're looking forward to it, Jordan. Thanks for the phone call, man. Enjoy your weekend, certainly. And it is nice to get that Eliminator W before the weekend even starts. And I guess you do hope at this point, right? Because if you're hoping other people get knocked out of it. So, hey, if Kansas City has to lose or Seattle who has to lose and, you know, all that other good stuff, or maybe the Buffalo Bills lose on the road at Washington next week. You know what's funny about that? Because I'm going to talk Saturday college football in just a second. But I haven't looked at next week's odds, and I do see them on the screen here. And it looks like there's a lot of low numbers. Three teams. I don't think I used the Eagles yet. See, I'm getting old. I picked three teams. And quite frankly, I can't even remember exactly. So obviously, it was the 49ers that I had. I think I had Baltimore week one. I didn't go Eagles last week. So I might go Eagles next week with the Commanders. But that's no slouch game. Dallas coming up this weekend against New England. That's not a slouch game. And there's San Francisco 14.5 next week against Arizona, but obviously already using them. Kansas City -7 on the road at the Jets. might be one that we can dig into here, but more good stuff next weekend overall. And by the way, as we were talking about, college football going to be really good tomorrow. A lot of great games. Florida State Clemson at noon. That line at FanDuel now down to 1.5. It's 2 at DraftKings. 1.5 at PointsBet here in New Jersey. 1.5 at Bet365 here in New Jersey also. I know a lot of people are talking up the Pac-12 game UCLA versus Utah on Saturday 3:30. I don't have much interest in that game, to be honest, because, you know, at 3:30, if I'm watching a football game, which I hope I will be doing, it would be Colorado and Oregon to see how that one turns out. 70.5 as the total in that game. 21.5 now across the board. So Colorado getting over 3 touchdowns now on the road. Travis Hunter not going to play in that game. That is going to be a key cog that's missing. We all know Oregon doesn't run the, excuse me, Colorado doesn't run the football all that well. And I did, was on with obviously the early line, me and Ben this week, and there is a cutout on the Sports Grid Twitter site, or Twitter account, I should say, where I was saying, like, you know, I really think that Oregon has a chance to run the score up, and they have an astronomically high team total of 45.5. But my, you know, energy towards that game is, I think Colorado's at the point right now where every team now is trying to, you know, like everybody wants to beat like Alabama and, you know, Florida back in the day, Miami, Florida State, you get the point, right? Clemson now. I think the target is on Colorado's back where I think some teams are wanting to teach them a lesson, but nobody's been able to do it yet. And every win Colorado gets, the more, you know, bragging rights they get. This should be a fun one in Oregon. I do think you get points here, but I was bringing up the concept of, you know, let's just say, I don't know, Oregon has 42 points with 4 minutes to go and has the football at the 50-yard line, up 21. They're looking to punch in another touchdown on Colorado. And that's the way I see it. Never in a million years would I take a look at a football game between two Division I opponents, both in the top 10, and say, I like this one team over 45.5. Actually, Colorado's not in the top 10. I take that back. But two top 20 teams, I should say. And to have a spread that big on top of it is crazy. Because usually that would be like, I don't know, maybe the quarterback is out. No, Shedeur Sanders is going to play here, man. So that's the one I'm looking forward to at 3:30. Also, another intriguing one, guys. Ole Miss and Alabama. 3:30 p.m. Saturday afternoon. Milroe back in. I know Alabama hasn't played well. They looked terrible against USF. They didn't play good football in a loss to Texas. But I still look at that 55.5 and Alabama being favored by 7. And by the way, some 6.5 now showing across the board. I think Alabama might have a mental edge to them this week with Milroe coming back. How do we feel about Ole Miss, Alabama, K-Dub 3:30?
So I'm glad you brought that up because I heard someone today ask, just ask the question, why did Saban announce Milroe as the starter and give Ole Miss that prep time to know who the quarterback would be? Like, that's something that you and I like to joke about with, like, the NFL, right? But in college football, like, you genuinely can get away with doing whatever you want. And Milroe is, of course, stylistically way different than those other two quarterbacks.
Yes.
I don't think Saban forgot it would have been an advantage to not tell Ole Miss who the quarterback was. I think a message was being sent that this is the guy, that we trust this guy, and all week long we're going to rally around Jalen Milroe being our starter. And again, maybe this is just me being, you know, still too high on Milroe as a player and Alabama as a football team, but I take that all as a positive.
Here's what I was taking out about halftime.
Nick Saban, come out with your hands up. We don't know what you're trying to pull right now by having these two bad quarterbacks in the game.
It was unbelievable to watch, but I do think there's an edge. And also, you know, from that one angle that we like to use, it's like, you know what? It's not so much I'm going to teach, like, Alabama Nation a lesson. Like, you know, you didn't want him in here? Deal with this. I don't think Nick Saban's, you know, that underhanded. Was like, I'll take a loss to South Florida to prove a point. No, he's not that devious. But I think more was Milroe saying, you know, if Nick Saban sits him down, man, you're so talented. Here's what I need you to work on. He's like, man, you see these other guys behind me? Like, you're going to start these chumps? And he goes, you know what? Yeah, I am. You're on the bench. Because the reason I bring that up is no coach, offensive coordinator, head coach in the right mind in that environment where they were struggling in the rain wouldn't go, hey guys, the best option in the nation right now is Milroe in the rain here. Put him in there. Let's just win this, get out of here, and away we go. I'm like, nope, we're going to stick to our guns here. We want him to watch from the sideline and really not take this for granted and see what we get next week out of him. That's the only thing I can come up with because it doesn't make sense. And I preface it always by saying, we're not in practice, Kevin. But you can't tell me in practice, Tom Brady's like, hey, by the way, Coach Saban, see what Buckner's doing up. I mean, he is lighting up our defense left and right. He stinks. And I know they're kids. I mean, now that they get paid now, basically on NIL money, he could be a little bit more forthcoming. He's not a good quarterback. And I have no idea how he went to Notre Dame and then to Alabama and looks like he can't complete a 7-yard cross. I don't know.
The problem, though, now, Donnie, is they go back to what I believe is the better quarterback. Is their offensive coordinator not going to adjust to personnel or what? Are we just going to stick with, what he's running at Notre Dame?
Yeah.
Like, that's not a good offensive. I'm telling you, man. But Tommy Rees is someone just because of Notre Dame. Like, I do slightly feel bad saying it. But, like, I mean, Tommy Rees, I hope he's looking for jobs right now because he's not lasting. Unless Alabama, Donnie. Here's the thing. The only way that he wouldn't be fired is if they won the title. And at that point, then he probably would get a head coaching offer anywhere, somewhere. Like, Tommy Rees is not at Alabama beyond this season. No way.
Who was saying this? I don't know if it's somebody on a network or not, but it's like, when you go to Alabama, it's not your system. You learn their system. I said, that doesn't really make much sense. Like, Tommy Rees isn't going to Alabama and go, hey, you know what, man, I got a great offensive concept. They go, look, you run our concept and just call the plays. So this has to be a Tommy Rees wrinkle in the offense that just isn't working out. But also, I do want to bring up the fact, and I do every time I talk about it, this isn't the same level of talent that we've had at Alabama for the past couple years. First-round draft pick at running back, 3 wideouts, all number one picks, tight ends that are 6'7" that can run like the wind and like a really good quarterback. It looks like they're back in the flow. Yeah, we have 4 and 5 star athletes, but not all of them work out. So we'll see what happens here. I want to go over one more game after the break, and obviously you know which one that is. 7:30 prime time, Ohio State and Notre Dame. 3.5 across the board. Too low, too high. Everybody on the dog, Notre Dame. Panicking anybody out there at this point? One more college football game. We'll flip it over to the pros. This is what we do on a Football Friday on the Sports Grid Network. It's Donnie and Kevin. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The luck of the Irish. Will it run out this weekend? A massive game. 2 massive fan bases, 2 meeting up, Ohio State and Notre Dame. 55.5 is the total. 3.5 is the prevailing number across the board. I can't find anybody on our network that's telling me, man, you're getting a steal now with Ohio State. Why is this?
Well, I wonder if that's because, do you remember, the kid Jack that used to work here?
Yeah.
He started texting everybody all week long, Notre Dame is free money, but, lock of the century. So
yeah.
I think Jack is now going to force everybody onto Ohio State. But look, I have a different kind of belief. Like, DRS, you love the bag on Notre Dame, obviously.
I do.
The belief, though, is not, man, I think Notre Dame can hang here. It's like, Notre Dame should win this game.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thought heading into this matchup here. So I'm very, very, I'm very excited about the football game. What are your, do you like Notre Dame as well in this spot?
I don't really like the game, to be honest with you. Like, I have more feelings about, I'm rooting for Clemson, but that line tells me that it's going to be a really good game. Like, if Florida State opens up at 3, 3.5, 4, they might be in a little bit of trouble, but I'm looking forward to the Clemson game. I think Alabama, again, a lot of people are on Ole Miss as well. I just look for Alabama. So again, if they went back to the right decision, everything should be settled in by now. I think Bama handles their business at home. I can't get a feel for this Ohio State-Notre Dame game. Number one, the line is dropping here. Ohio State, they didn't bounce back against anything last week. They didn't really play an opponent, but that offense that we've been waiting for sort of showed up points-wise last week, and they have the best wide receiver by a mile in the country on their team that when anything goes wrong, Kevin, hey, drop back, 1, 2, 3. Man, you only live once. Launch that bad boy down. Oh, look, he's wide open again. I love it. Like, the 55.5, I do think it goes over the total because you have 2 good offenses really getting after it in good weather.
Yeah, this Ohio State defense, though, it's tough. Like,
this is the tough thing, Donnie, when it's like, oh, two good teams playing one another, their fourth game of the season. You know, for Notre Dame, it's their fifth game, if I'm not mistaken, of the season. And you kind of look at it, and you realize they haven't played anybody, right? So that's where it's mm-hmm. like, okay, what do I trust? But the Ohio State defense so far has been excellent. Yeah. And I'm wondering how real that is, because if the Ohio State defense is excellent, and the Ohio State offense is not what we're used to, maybe mm-hmm. this is an under football game. Maybe an Ohio State team total under could even be a look there, but man, with that, it was such an under last year. But Sam mm-hmm. Hartman is such a game changer. Again, like, we've not had a quarterback like this in South Bend in forever.
Nope. And how about this, too? You factor this into it.
Touchdown, Jesus is watching the game.
Any factor on that? Any touchdown, I mean, Jesus action here?
Basically, add a touchdown to the Notre Dame side. Maybe it should be 4.5-point favorites then, right?
Well, let me rip Notre Dame. They never should have added it onto the stadium.
On.
No, they never should have added it onto the stadium. It was just, it was glorious. It was like football heaven, as you would call it, like Wrigley Field, you know, Fenway. And they both ruined their fields as well by putting seats on top of the monster and 70,000 scoreboards in Wrigley. So it's no longer the same thing. I'm telling you, growing up, like I was just telling Ben yesterday, I was like, man, if there's one football stadium, because I went to the Orange Bowl before they tore it down. First time in there was maybe, I think it was, let's say 2003, I went to my first game there. And when I like walked through the tunnel, like I had to take like a breath for like 15 seconds to be like, I've been waiting to see this my whole life. And it was as cool as it could possibly be. Old rickety stadium, no replay board, just the scoreboard. And I saw it like, and it's like, you know, again, it was 100 years old at that time, but it felt like it hasn't changed since like the day it opened. But like Wrigley, I've never been to Wrigley. I don't even want to go to Wrigley right now. I don't, because I feel like I missed out on what Wrigley was supposed to be, like back in the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, before all the scoreboards and the changes and all that stuff there. Same thing with like a Yankee Stadium. Like, hey, go to the new Yankee Stadium. Why? The old Yankee Stadium was, you know, what Yankees baseball and the house that Ruth built all was. So every time I see Notre Dame and I watch the old games, I'm big on YouTube. I'll find myself going down a rabbit hole watching random like Penn State football games from like 1981. I'm like, man, look how cool, you know, Beaver Stadium was before the second deck was added on. I just feel like I missed out on Notre Dame because it's just big, and Touchdown Jesus doesn't watch the game anymore because the stadium covers him up.
Yeah, but it's also like, what are they supposed to do, Donnie?
No, I know, I know.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're not supposed to...
Old school scoreboards at Notre Dame, for like right up to like 2005. Like, hey, that was a great play. Can we watch it? Like, no, there's no replay board, man. It's just a scoreboard up there.
Like, I think that stuff is tough with that. The one thing I always say though, when this conversation comes up, because I just have to tip my cap, I'm actually done like some of the iconic parks, if you will. Like, I know there's some mm-hmm. parks that are considered beautiful, Baltimore, San Fran.
Yes.
But I've been to Dodger Stadium, Fenway, and Wrigley. Mm-hmm. And really, Fenway was the coolest one, despite being a Yankee fan. That really felt like something special when I was inside that building.
Yeah. It's cool. Like, I'm big on, you know, historical stuff like that. And every time, I remember as a kid, like, you would drive by, like, even if I remember a couple times going to Maine when I was a kid, you drive up and you say, oh my goodness, man, there's like, you know, the Twin Towers were still there, Empire State Building. But on the left was Brendan Byrne Arena and Giant Stadium, seeing it for the first time. Like, I love that as a kid, man. Like, if we would drive, like, outside of Boston or through it, all I would do is look on the horizon and try to get a glimpse of, like, if I had no idea where Fenway was, never saw it there. But every time I also remember, you have to drive through New York City and go across the GW to continue on 95. Man, I would look for days on the horizon to try to find a glimpse when I was a kid at Yankee Stadium. I only realized I was actually looking on the wrong horizon. It was over to the right. You know what I mean? Now, I didn't know that. I just saw the signs for it and looked in the wrong direction time. But I get a kick out of that stuff, and I think it's a lot of fun. But, yeah, that's going to be a big one at Notre Dame on Saturday night. Also, McAfee show today. It was the one I was at ESPN up. Oh, Lou Holtz was there. Give him a little bit of a pep talk, man.
Oh, big Lou.
Still looks good talking about losing this game. Yeah, he gave a pep talk as if he was right in the locker room still of how they're going to win that game. I was like, man, Lou could get it. I mean, he's got to get in the locker room tomorrow. Give the boys a little bump.
Wow, all right. That's not bad. All right. I mean, listen,
I don't know, man. Are you betting this week? Are you back? Are you back officially in the cut? Why?
I don't think so.
What happened?
I don't think so. I'm hoping I catch some of these games, but the NFL's back. So again, I had a nice little run for 2 weeks, but I'm not in front of the TV all day long to get the feel of these games. You know what I mean? So
it's not worth it.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it. My mind is invested in everything else. Now,
let me talk to you.
NFL action Sunday afternoon. And look, I think I'm trying to hype myself up for the Sunday's games. I love the NFL every week regardless. But people are making very good points here as we're going over game by game by game. I'm going like, well, when do we get to the good one? You know, start off because we're going to do this Sunday, like game of the week. And then all of a sudden it's like, boy, when we're breaking down Dallas, Arizona. Ooh, we're breaking down Carolina, Seattle, Indianapolis, Baltimore. It's like, man, what happened this week? But you never can predict who's going to be great, who's going to be bad. And even like we're Eagles fans. I'm going to enjoy Monday Night Football regardless. And I think people will. And Tampa Bay 2-0 makes it a little bit more intriguing. But like Rams, Cincinnati, like, hey, Joe Burrow and they play and it's the Rams. Like, man, what happened to this week? But it is what it is. Just got to make something out of it.
It is funny, though, that like the 2-0 NFC teams. Well, that's Monday. But all right. Well, hey, the Rams are really good. Yeah, Cincinnati might not have Burrow. What? Like, you know what I mean? Just like these couple things that have kind of pulled up. And like, Donnie, here's a little sneaky one. The game was never supposed to be good. Anthony Richardson versus Lamar Jackson. Sign me up. You know, two QBs to combine for 100 rushing yards. Like, best boost in the world you can imagine. Yeah, maybe no Anthony Richardson. Like, you know, what are we even doing here, man?
Yeah. New England, New York Jets. Oh, look at that. Belichick going to face Aaron Rodgers. No, he's facing Zach Wilson. It's like, okay. So, a lot of fun there. Tennessee and Cleveland. Put me to sleep there at that 39.5, whatever you get. Chargers, Minnesota, if they're both 2-0, we'd probably be amped up here. Both the loser goes home, like for the season.
In the college football total.
Man. Yeah, by the way, there's going to be points in that game. Justin Jefferson.
Nah, that total's
were you telling me?
High.
Who was telling me? Ben? 100?
Probably.
Like 99.5? His prop? Unbelievable here. Unbelievable.
But is that total still 54.5?
Yeah, it's 53.5 at FanDuel, 54 across the board now.
You're liking that over?
No, I don't like the over. I like the props in that game more than the over itself. Like, if I'm looking at that game going, hey, man, both these teams, K, they're really going to hit their ground game, stop it. Like, this is going to be an aerial show across the football field. And as I said all week, I agree Minnesota's a favorite here. Minnesota not nearly as talented as the Chargers. And I'm like, yeah, you know what? Minnesota's going to handle their business. No idea. Like, I had so much aspirations for the Chargers coming into the season by going, now's the time they get it together. It's all there for them. And especially opening night, Kansas City got beat. I'm like, you know what? The Chargers got to be sitting around going like, this team's beatable this year, man. This is our season. I'm like, yeah, let's just go out and choke away the first two games and then wind up Kevin, they're out of the playoffs. They lose tomorrow or Sunday. They're out of the playoffs. Oh my gosh. I don't even know how to
But like, Donnie, here's my problem with the AFC. Let's just say, and by the way, these would all be some reasonable results here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say the Vikings win, and let's say you get a Rams victory on Monday night. Mm-hmm. The Chargers and the Bengals were two, oh, come on, there's no way. They aren't there at the end of it, football teams, right?
Mm.
If I told you that the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bills, the Dolphins, and let's just for the sake of argument call Jacksonville the South winner. And I tell you, those teams are going to be in, Donnie. There are still two playoff spots remaining. Where are you, like, who are you lining up right now in the AFC to swoop in and be a playoff team if Cincinnati and the Chargers are going to be out after 3 weeks of football?
Yeah, it's hard to I'm not even actually lining it up because I know what you're getting at there, because seven teams have to make the playoffs. If everybody stinks, well, it's 6 and 7 are still getting in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. Somebody's got to get in. I'm just going off based off what I know in the past. Like, you start off, it used to be 0-2, but now the extra game is 0-3. So I'm just really lining it up that way without actually looking at the stands and going, well, you really think the Colts are going to hang on? you really think that Cleveland's going to have a decent season now without Chubb? And the Jets, who are probably a surefire playoff team, they're 1-1, but they're going to stink the rest of the way. Like, I know where you're going here, and you might wind up in, like, you know, 6 weeks going, like, hey, look at the Chargers, 3-3, and they might be able to get back into it. I hear where you're going on that.
But and so I am making that point, but I'm also making the point of, you're probably right, Donnie, that if they go 0-3, they're not making it. But so, like, I think Cleveland will get in. Cleveland should have never lost that game to Pittsburgh. I think that Steelers team is not very good. We'll see. They're, you know, catching 2.5 to the Vegas Raiders on a Sunday night. But I'm genuinely saying, like, who in the AFC is catching your? It's only 2 weeks of football, right? Like, that answer is going to come. Like, the winner of Tennessee-Cleveland, you're going to be like, okay, that's a playoff team, right?
Yeah, I think Tennessee's a little bit better than I thought they would be, even though they're, what, +2 on point differential. But they were in it. They could have won week one. You know, week number two, they had a nice comeback victory over the Chargers. Seems like everybody does that against them. I think I'm a little bit higher on Tennessee now than what I was to start the season. I think the Broncos are going to get beat on Sunday, but I think they'll play well. But they'll be 0-3, and who knows what, you know, Sean Payton's like, hey, man, I'm not used to this 0-3 business, so I'm going to get real strict up in this place, and some people aren't going to like it and eventually go their separate ways. But I'm not at the point where I'm saying, because it is still a little bit too early. I just look at the overall theory of, hey, man, you're 0-3. You're not getting in, because that means other teams are having a good season. But one, what is it, two 2-0 teams in the AFC combined? Everybody's really up for grabs in that spot here. So here's what it is. We got one more segment to go on this Football Friday on the Sports Grid Network on Moneyline. Let's see what we got popping this weekend. Let's get some hot picks out here. See what we can do. It's Donnie and Kevin, Sirius XM Channel 159, right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Line them up, knock them down. Football Friday.
Wow, what a
Saturday.
Show.
Big time Sunday. We got a pop in here on the network, too. College Football Today, Saturday. Pro Football Today on Sunday. Another appearance in studio. People looking fly from what I hear. The fits are correct. Sneaks have been banned. Loafers may be banned. Kev, like, I have a pair of black dress shoes about to get shine. You won't even believe the RS Sunday.
Glistening?
The only thing I'm debating right now, the gray suit with the black shirt underneath, which looks like gangster to me, and I love it.
Okay.
Or the wife's trying to maybe win out where I have a navy blue option or a black suit option.
Wait a minute. Now hold on.
Yeah.
What, is she happy that you're wearing suits and invested in your career again?
To be honest with you, here's what I'm doing. Like, we were walking the dogs last night, and I was telling her, like, look, I'm wearing all these, I might need an upgrade at home. I'm just telling you right now. Like, that's where my angle was being played. Like, you might be getting nervous because your boy's getting haircuts every other Fridays, and he's wearing suits and he's dressing up. You better keep home, like, in check here at this point, because, you know, I'm looking good out on the scene.
Oh my God,
that's how
crazy
it got played up in this house. Yep.
You're insane. Can I throw something your way? I don't want to end it on this note, but I see Odell's ruled out. Is that how concerning is that for your season long bet? Like, you probably factored in a couple missed games.
Exactly. The only thing I would be worried about is, like, oh, knee injury 4 to 6 weeks, and, like, well, that's done. That means 7 weeks, he's going to come back and get injured again. I'm okay with it. He's got yards in his first two games. He can miss a few games. It's so low that that's going to be fine. I do think Lamar Jackson, as long as he's healthy, that offense will be moving. They'll get him the football. What do I mean get him the football? It's like 50 yards a game. But I'm not too upset about that, even though, yes, you probably had to anticipate that coming in. Would have liked to have that happen week 7 or 8 after he's got like 300 yards in the door.
Yeah.
But I'm not really that worried about it. And I'm not worried about this weekend. Winners, and more winners across the board. So make sure you keep it right here on the Sports Grid Network. Coast to coast coming up next. And as I said, a big football weekend here on the grid. For Christian behind the wheels of steel, Donnie Wrightside, Kevin Walsh, this is Moneyline, and we will be back on Monday. Enjoy your weekend.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino. America's
social casino. Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.